Audacity.
The former president of the St. Lucia National Council suing the NYC for firing him over misconduct allegations. With the Caribbean News Roundup, I am Ken Richards. St. Lucia's National Youth Council is being sued by its former president, Nias Alfred. Alfred was kicked out of the NYC last August following an investigation into misconduct allegations. Here's NBC Prime News with more on that matter.
The scandal prompted a response from the ousted NYC member's substantive employer, the OECS Commission, which initially explained Alfred's fate hinged on the outcome of the NYC's investigation. 1 year later, NBC Prime can confirm the OECS Commission has retained its embattled employee and has since transferred him to a different department.
Last May, the OECS Commission was dragged into a salacious scandal that surrounded one of its employees, Nias Alfred, who previously worked as a youth officer for the commission. However, Alfred was transferred to the Commission's Communication Department in December. Nias Alfred was also the president of the National Youth Council. Before his transition to the Commission's Communication Department, the NYC, on the advice of a special committee, took the decision to rescind his presidency and remove him from the youth organization. Months prior to the NYC's announcement, the OECS Commission said, quote, "We have a zero-tolerance policy as well as defined processes for addressing misconduct of any kind, including those in question. We are aware of the investigation by the St. Lucia National Youth Council, the outcome of which will be useful consideration in informing how the Commission moves forward," end quote. Lovely Anthony leads the Commission's Communications Unit. Almost 1 year since their statement was issued, Anthony confirmed Nias Alfred is still employed. Quote, "The OECS Commission followed an internal process when this matter was initially brought to our attention. The process followed was consistent with our operating procedures. We are aware that Nias has pursued the matter formally by way of court proceedings on the advice of his legal advisors. These proceedings are still ongoing, and we will await its outcome before deciding the way forward insofar as it relates to our employment relationship with Nias," end quote. Attorney Duane Jean-Baptiste, acting on Nias Alfred's behalf, has sued the National Youth Council, challenging its decision to relieve him of his executive post. The scandal, which erupted back in April, forced the NYC to suspend its programs and rewrite office policy. Two teenagers allegedly engaged in sexual acts with the adult NYC member. A previous statement from the Youth Council claims some of the interaction with the minors occurred at its Castree secretariat. However, in May, one of the minors attempted to recant leaked audio recordings detailing the nature of an alleged affair with the NYC member, now seeking judicial recourse.
In Barbados, the 18-year-old who was preparing to become the country's youngest member of the Senate is struggling to make sense of the argument of independent senators. The senators took issue with the proposed constitutional amendment intended to facilitate teenage representation in Parliament. Barbados Today has this report.
Youth activist and law student Khalil Kofdiwala, who had been named by Prime Minister Mia Mottley for appointment as a government senator once the amendments had been passed, insisted that it is logical that persons allowed to vote in an election be able to serve in the country's highest decision-making bodies.
I accept entirely that there are people who believe that the age to sit in the House of Assembly or the Senate or both ought to be 21. My simple proposition in response to that is that there is no good reason why the two ages should be disparate, why they should be separate. So that if you believe that the age to sit in the Parliament ought to be 21, then that is a perfectly legitimate view to which you are entirely entitled, and I will defend your right to have that view. But that is a conversation for constitutional reform, because what that will mean is that if you believe that the age for the parliament should be 21, then the necessary implication of that must be that the age to vote in Barbados be 21 also. That is a controversial conversation. That is a significant change. And that then will have to be the subject of a year-long constitutional review process.
St. Lucia is one of the stops the British royals currently in the Caribbean are expected to make. Among those anticipating that visit is the Rastafarian community there, as we hear from NBC Prime News.
The British royals are touring the Caribbean to commemorate the 70th anniversary of Queen Elizabeth's ascent to the throne. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, Prince William and Kate Middleton, on March 22nd, arrived in Jamaica after stopping in Belize, where their leg of the regional royal tour initially got underway. From all indications, the Jamaica visit has been incident-free. However, sections of that country's Rastafarian community have expressed mixed reviews about the celebratory visit by the heirs to the British throne. Anti-monarchy sentiment and demands for reparations appears to be trailing the visiting royals as they tour former Caribbean colonies. Queen Elizabeth's youngest son, Prince Edward, the Earl of Wessex, and his wife are scheduled to arrive in St. Lucia in April. Self-proclaimed human rights advocate and former executive member of the Ayanola Council for the Advancement of Rastafari, Aaron Alexander, has joined in the regional reparations chorus.
I'm thinking that all peace-loving people, all conscious people, should let their voices be heard during that visit, because it cannot be all rosy and smiles and so on. After independence, we were left and saddled with so much debt from the British monarchy, and now for us to be using our taxpayers' dollars to actually put on activities for them. No, they should be funding everything from their welcome party to whatever activities the government intend to host for them. They should be paying for that. And I'm hoping that the government will not make our children go and line up the streets with flags and singing God Save the Queen and all that kind of rubbish.
Although reparations and addressing the lingering colonial era issues associated with the devastating impact of the transatlantic slave trade is not on the royal agenda, sections of St. Lucia's Rastafari community want to use the occasion to create awareness and even demand the royals apologize.
And on Jamaica's leg of the royal tour, there has been concern about the portrayal of Jamaicans interacting with the royals. Some critics argue that the visit is a reminder of their reign and British colonialism. TVG News has this report.
Photos of the British royals greeting Trenchtown residents from behind a fence and under the watchful guard of the police and other security officials have been likened to modern-day slavery. The images are being widely used by international media, and the interactions with residents described as jarring. But some residents of Trenchtown are unconcerned about the perceptions. They're happy to see the Duke and Duchess.
I never see him no more. Time I never see the Queen when she come. What me I see the Prince this time in Jesus' name. Me no busy where nobody wants it.
Much of the criticism surrounding the royal visit stems from Jamaica's own independence. And as the country gears up to celebrate its 60th year, well, pressure is mounting on the government to sever ties with the British monarch. But one scholar argues that decolonization of the mind is just as important as cutting physical ties with the British monarch.
The fact of the celebration is contradictory. The responses to the royals, you know, if you see some of the images, you know, it's a bit jarring, the celebration of these two people in relation to what they represent historically. And in relation to where black people are in Jamaica currently.
Dr. Maziki Tame is a senior lecturer at the University of the West Indies. She's also part of the group calling for reparations outside the British Embassy Tuesday. Dr. Tame says the visit by the royals flies in the face of Jamaica's democracy. And while the Duke and Duchess did not directly cause harm to slaves, their visit is a reminder of what the royal family represents.
relaxing COVID-19 protocols on the cards for Dominica. Here's Roy Sanford.
Speaking on state-owned CBS Radio, Health Minister Dr. Irvin McIntyre did not give a specific date when the protocols will be relaxed, but said the island is on the verge of doing so. He said compared to other Caribbean islands, Dominica did pretty well in its battle against the virus, which has been gripping the world for the last 2 years. It was a tremendous expenditure on the government, but nonetheless, when you look at the safety and the health of the people, it all paid off, he said. Dr. McIntyre stated that the people of Dominica must be commended for their cooperation in the fight against the virus. As it is now 2 years down the line, we are on the verge of just removing most of the protocols and letting people continue their livelihood, he remarked. He said meetings were held during the course of this week to discuss the relaxation of the protocols, but pointed out that his ministry doesn't want to do it in a reckless manner. He noted that COVID fatigue has been hard on Dominicans, but he believed the island is in what he described as a safe zone and ready to move further in that direction. Earlier this month, Antigua made sweeping changes in its COVID-19 protocols, including the lifting of rules concerning the mandatory wearing of masks in public. Jamaica also revised some of its protocols in early March, especially for travelers, with Donovan White, Director of Tourism at the Jamaica Tourism Board, saying, "These changes are timed to go into effect as destinations across the globe are enacting similar revisions to their travel requirements."
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Friday, 25th March. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.